We are back again. The 49ers have made selections in this NFL draft. Finally, at 61, 93, and 105. No trades for the 49ers on day two of the NFL draft, but they came away with three players: Drake Jackson, Ty Davis Price, and Danny Gray. Croc and I here with you to break it all down right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at the Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks for making Locked On 49ers your first listen on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. The listeners are pissed about a running back, and I think you and I are kind of pissed about a running back, right? And it's no fault of Ty Davis Price's. Like, don't blame TDP. Do not blame the player. Blame, I don't know, Kyle Shanahan. What are we doing here? We just went through a draft where the 49ers traded up for a third-round draft pick who got outplayed by a sixth-round draft pick at running back. We've seen Raheem Mostert off the scrap heap become the most dynamic runner in a 49ers offense we've ever seen, just about. And, the list goes on and on. Late-round running backs, what are the 49ers doing, Croc, drafting another third-round running back? They made a couple of good picks. One pick I really like on day two, but let's get the bad out of the way, because the first comment in the chat was about upset about a running back on day two at pick 93. I can't blame him. And I've got some thoughts about a Ty Davis Price as a runner and as a prospect, but just as the idea of a running back in round three, again, I thought we were past this, Croc.
Yeah, it wasn't something that I foresaw them doing. And I think we've discussed this, like Kyle Shanahan, don't draft guy running backs mid-rounds. Obviously, I mean, first of all, the value on running backs, it's already pretty low. You didn't see any running backs go in the first round. There's some terrific backs in this class, but if you don't see Breece Hall go first round, if you don't see Kenneth Walker go first round, and everybody else is going kind of after that, including 49ers running back, you can hold off on it a little bit. 40 and running backs, they're a little replaceable. Obviously, if you see a guy who does something excellent that you want in your offense, I get it. But they didn't have to go this route. And we already had the discussion. Your value, not your value, but the production that the 49ers have gotten out of running backs has been late. You know, undrafted to six-round guys, and you already have Elijah Mitchell, so can you just get someone that complements Elijah Mitchell? And I feel like that guy can come in fifth round, in the sixth round, and drafting a guy third round when safeties were on the board that are going to be potential starters. You got some receivers that went after me. All kind of – you got cornerback, Kobe Bryant still out there. I mean, just other positions where I'm like, I think it's a little harder to get somebody good at that point in these positions as opposed to a running back. So that was just kind of my thing. I'm not mad at the running back. I don't even know. I haven't even watched him. So I'm not mad at the pick in the sense of like who he is or what he can bring to the table. It's just, to me, it's just the value of it.
Right. It's a value thing. And if you potentially have a need, you don't know if your center is about to retire and things are already thinner on your offensive line, and there's maybe a really good player that you could draft there, that would make more sense than a running back to me. If there's a potential starting caliber safety and you're letting your starting safety in Jaquiski Tartt walk, that would make a lot of sense there. And to go with a running back, which is something that we've seen, like even if he's a really good player, I don't think it's going to add wins to the 49ers with what they already have and what they've already been able to pull out. And there's tons of really good running backs still on the board that will clearly be there on day three. And so it's all about the value of drafting a running back there, which is what I don't like about it.
Real quick, when you talk about value, like Drake Jackson, you know, at pick 61, edge rusher with his ability rush, like that's terrific value. Even Danny Gray at the tail end, the last pick in the third round, you know, a guy that can win over the top and maybe add some special teams value. Like that's good value. The running back to me, just I don't see the value in it. That's all. I'm not saying that it's not a good pick.
And I'm talking about the value as in if Drake Jackson becomes a stud pass rusher, a 10 sack a year edge rusher for you, that is a $20 million player. If Ty Davis Price becomes a pretty good rotational running back for you with your other running backs, that's a $4 million player. You know what I mean? And like, unless he becomes Frank Gore, unless he becomes this superstar running back, in which case you still shouldn't pay him his second contract, then, you know, then where's the value in drafting a running back in round three when you know that it's been proven time and time again that you can draft and maybe even not even draft at all, undrafted free agent can find a running back that can really, really produce in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So it's not about the prospect and it's not about the player. It's about the position. And that's what I don't like about the pick there, when there was other maybe starting caliber players that you could have drafted at pick 93. I think the big one there that we were looking at was Nick Cross, just because, I mean, it's hard to find a safety that runs 4.3 that's still available for you in the third round that can bring a thump like he can. And he wasn't a perfect prospect, but I thought at 61, maybe in play, even though I'd have preferred him at 93, and he was still there at 93, and he went, I think, two picks after pick 93, after the 49ers drafted Ty Davis Price. Tyrion. I love the name Tyrion Davis Price, by the way.
And real quick, just so people, you know, to make it clear one more time, we are not saying that he's a bad running back. I think it could have been him, or it could have been five other backs that are going to go after him, where you would say the same thing. Hey, this guy looks like a good running back. They're all solid. They can all run the rock. Pierre Strong, I mean, like, you know, again, I haven't even watched Davis Price, so I don't want to say like, oh, I would have rather had this guy. But I do know when I was watching Pierre Strong, I was like, this is a Kyle Shanahan running back.
Ty Davis Price, so 6 feet, 211 pounds. And he's a good player. I like what I see from him. He's got some short area burst. He gets going and he gets going downhill. And I would call his style of running, he runs like a drunk driver. He kind of swerves, right? And if it's a defensive lineman in front of him, he's kind of one cut, but it's not even a full cut. It's sort of like a half cut. He's like kind of swerves. So he's like, here's the hole. Here's a defensive lineman. The hole's here. I'm going to swerve this way, but I'm going to get full speed as quick as I can. And then he's like, and now I'm on the second level. I'm not even going to bother swerving if it's a safety. It's like a traffic cone in front of me. And then he hits him and he goes through people on the second level. So I like that about him. That's what Kyle Shanahan, I'm sure, likes about him. That's what Kyle Shanahan liked last year about Elijah Mitchell over Trey Sermon. Trey Sermon, a little bit, he had nice feet and he had good lateral agility, but he took his time, I think, to find the hole a little bit. And Elijah Mitchell said, I'm going to get downhill fast. And that's what Ty Davis Price does, is he gets downhill quickly. And I think that's what bodes well for him in Kyle Shanahan's offense. But everything between the tackles. And again, we talked about this last year, Croc. Remember, new quarterback coming in. They go draft a big-bodied guard that didn't seem to fit the scheme. They brought in a running back that didn't quite seem to fit the scheme. Are they trying to go more power? Are they trying to go more between the tackles? Because that's what Tyrion Davis Price would seem to point to as well.
I think that's the million-dollar question. Like, what does this mean for Trey Sermon?
It can't be good for Trey Sermon. It can't be good for Trey Sermon already when you got beat out by a sixth rounder when you were a third round pick when they traded up for you. And then the following year, they draft another third round running back. That is definitely not good for Trey Sermon or Jermichael Hasty or anybody else on the roster that's not named Elijah Mitchell or Tyrion Davis Price.
Yeah, there's politics in every sport. There's 100% politics in where you're drafted. And if you are the third round pick, and you let the sixth round pick just come in, who didn't even really play in the preseason until the very last preseason game and was going the wrong way and fumbling, and he still beats you out, you are in trouble.
That's exactly right. Yeah, because what when Elijah Mitchell showed up and started playing in week one, it was like, what the hell? Elijah Mitchell? Never saw him in the preseason, right?
He was wearing number 49.
Why? Yeah, he was wearing a bad number, and it was kind of we were talking about this with Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel in the preseason, we had to remind people, like, hey, don't forget about Deebo Samuel. He's really good, and this is a 1A, 1B situation because people are ready to anoint Brandon Ayuk. Like, Brandon Ayuk's the guy. Trey Sermon is the guy. Let's go. And they were both doghoused very quickly, and it was the Deebo and Elijah Mitchell show once the season started.
Yeah. Big Deebo.
All right. Niners drafted a running back. You know that's not going to get a good grade from me. Like, you know that. I don't care if it was the
Do you put that on par with drafting a punter? Like, in the sense of, like, where they took him, right? Let's say they drafted a punter fifth round. I know you're super against that. But drafting a running back third round when you have Elijah Mitchell and, again, the guys who have been very productive for the 49ers at the running back position have all been either undrafted or sixth round pick?
No. Drafting a running back in late third round isn't egregious as long as he's a dude. So, like, if Tyrion Davis Price turns out to be just a straight up dude, it's okay. I didn't really have that evaluation. I didn't watch him a lot. I just didn't really think there was that many dudes in this class that would be worth that pick and too many good players. And that's the point about running backs. You can still find really good players later on in the draft. And so we'll see if he becomes that guy. It would be, I think a fourth round punter is more like a first round running back.
Okay. I mean?
So that would be way worse, drafting a punter. Like if tomorrow the 49ers start off with a punter, that'd be bad. That'd be worse than drafting a third round running back. And Ty Davis Price is a good pass protector. I don't know how he is as a receiver, but maybe that's part of it. Maybe they wanted someone who would bring some thump to pass rushers and be good in pass protection. And I heard him speaking after he was selected about that, and he was basically like, yeah, that's how you get on the field, so I'm going to be good at it. So I like the mentality there. He does bring some physicality, and clearly the 49ers have tried the last couple of years to bring in a little bit more physicality. Didn't work last year with Trey Sermon, who's I wouldn't be surprised if he gets traded tomorrow. And then Tyrion Davis Price, who clearly has some thickness to him. He's got some thick thighs. So let's move on to the second round pick, because I want to get your thoughts, because I went live earlier without you talking about Drake Jackson, the pass rusher out of USC at 61, and then Danny Gray, the wide receiver, at pick 105 by the 49ers. But I want to tell the folks out there about Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. By the way, check out the Locked On NFL Draft live show. You can see me and Croc wearing some Shady Rays live on TV, and I didn't even know Croc was going to be wearing shades, but he brought out some shades, and I happened to have some shades on my desk, and I was ready for them. So yeah, we went, the future's so bright, you got to wear shades on the Locked On NFL Draft live show. But Shady Rays gives you premium high-end frames, durable high-end finishes, well-constructed and polarized lenses, but they don't cost you $200. You get these for a fraction of the price, and just some insane prices out there for sunglasses in the world. You go to ShadyRays.com, you get high-end sunnies, but for a bargain of a price. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection as well on every pair, and that is something you are not going to find anywhere. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. And I know it's happened to all of us that wear sunglasses every day in the sunny months, especially for me here in California, and I've got to have sunglasses on me at all times. So get yourself a little discount at ShadyRays.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code LOCKEDON for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. I want to tell the folks out there about Built Bar as well, because summer is coming. You get your shades on, and you know what you do? You get a pack of Built Bars because you're going to be going on vacation and you need some food to go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure everyone has a bar so you are fueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars, they're healthy and delicious. That is the combination you're looking for, because if it's just healthy and not delicious, you're not going to reach for them. And if it is just delicious and not healthy, you should not be reaching for them. So get rid of all those terrible for you snacks and replace them with Built Bars. There are some Built granola bars coming as well at built.com, along with the Built Bar Puffs, the first ever protein infused marshmallow. And all those Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. And most Built Bars contain only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. So get over to Built.com. Find all your favorite flavors or build your own box of bars at Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, that is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
Peacock.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if it's me, I think I might be doing a poor job of explaining the running back thing and why we are against it right there, because I still see in the chat where people are like, oh, you guys are complaining about a running back, guys got hurt, stuff like that. And I'm like, listen, I'm not saying it's a bad pick. I'm just saying I didn't get it from the value standpoint. Does that make sense?
I know what you're saying. I don't know why they're not understanding what we're saying. Greg says here that we're complaining about Niners injuries last year at running back. Debo complained about being a running back. Niners draft a running back and still complaining. Price is good. Still plenty picks. I don't know, Greg. I think Greg needs to lay off the sauce. It's getting late out there, and he's been through three rounds of the NFL draft. It's about value. Like running, I love running backs. My favorite player of all time that's not a 49er is Barry Sanders. He made every Detroit Lions game fun to watch. I would never touch Barry Sanders with a top five pick because he does not help you win games. How many games did Lions win? None. And that was when teams leaned on running backs, yeah. Right? Like the Lions were bad with a running back. It's all about the offensive line. I would take the entire offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s over Emmitt Smith. You know what I mean? And the running backs are great. Running backs are fun. I love running backs. I love Roger Craig. I love Frank Gore. But they are not going to add to wins and losses, especially this day and age in the NFL, like other position groups will. And you can find replacement level running backs so easily. There's going to be really good running backs going on day three. We saw it last year with the 49ers. And the reason you don't draft them high is because of the injuries. So Greg is making the exact opposite argument for why they're not valuable, because they always get injured. So you just need to have a lot of okay ones, a lot of good ones, and don't be spending too much on one, because what you need is a bunch of day three running backs. And I would say draft a fifth, sixth round running back every single year and never touch him in rounds one through three. And I think you'd have a really good running game as long as you got a good system and a good offensive line. And Croc went completely off the grid because of that last comment. No, but not to take you on there, Greg, but and I understand what you're saying, but and that's why Debo's more valuable as a wide receiver than a running back because of that. So anyway, and it's not about the player, and I love running backs, and running backs are fun, and he'll be a good player for the 49ers, I'm sure, but you can get good running backs later, and there's other positions that are more difficult to find that you need to be spending your third-round resources on, and that's really the point of the whole thing. It's not so much about if you drafted a good running back or not in the third round. It's what did you miss drafting in the third round that is so much harder to find on day three than a running back. All right. Croc looks like he's in deep meditation. Croc's been working hard, and he was like really tired last night when we did the post first round show. And and by the way, if you guys haven't seen the Locked On NFL live show, you got to check that out, because it is really good. And I've had a fun time jumping on today when the 49ers actually had some picks. But I'm rooting for Ty Davis Price. I hope he's a really good player for the 49ers. And there's some things to like about his film. Absolutely. I'm going to talk a little bit about Danny Gray. I'm going to wait for Croc, because I already talked earlier today. I went live and talked about Drake Jackson. I want to get Croc's thoughts on him. I want to talk a little bit about Danny Gray if Croc jumps back in and rejoins us at all tonight. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's out eating, or he works out like three times a day now. Croc's like, I'm a little bit worried about Croc, actually. He's a little too active. And he's calmed down. I mean, he's got too many things going on. He's got like 9 podcasts. He's doing this thing where he's trying to work out twice a day, and he only eats for like 30 minutes a day. This like intermittent fasting thing. So he's doing a lot right now. He might need to calm down a little bit. But Danny Gray, the 49ers selection to finish up round three at pick 105 out of Southern Methodist University. I like Danny Gray. I might have waited to press my luck a little bit, see if he was there still in round four. But at this point, as the board was falling with wide receivers, there really wasn't many players that I would like more than Danny Gray at wide receiver. And clearly the 49ers were in on Danny Gray. They had him in for a visit, and he has something that Kyle Shanahan was looking for. He talked about it in the press conference after round three of the draft, is speed. And he talks about how he's always had someone that has that speed on the roster. And even though he doesn't really use it, which is kind of weird, because he brought up Travis Benjamin. We targeted Travis Benjamin like 3 times last year, right? So I hope he's got bigger plans for Danny Gray. But before Benjamin was on the 49ers with his 4.3 speed, then there was 4.2 speed with Marquise Goodwin, right? And so these speed guys have kind of underwhelmed on the 49ers roster. But one of the reasons I think Danny Gray is such a fit for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers roster with his speed is he's got a little bit more size. Then he's not a big wide receiver by any means, but he's got a little bit more size than Marquise Goodwin and Travis Benjamin had, and he can take a slant to the house. And if you're trying to figure out who Kyle Shanahan is going to like and draft any given year, make a list of the receivers that can take a slant to the house. And you'll have a better idea of, I think, the players that Kyle Shanahan likes. And Danny Gray has that. And again, he's so similarly sized to, as far as height goes, to both Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. He's like right between 5'11 and a half and 6 feet, like 5'11 and three quarters. Exactly the same height as Deebo, exactly the same height as Brandon Ayuk, just under 6 feet. He's a little bit slimmer than those guys, goes about 190. But he's a track star. Like, he's got legitimate track speed. He was a track guy, even, you know, more than a football guy for a long time. And oh, here we go. Croc's coming back in. Let's bring him back on the pod.
I don't know what's going on, but I'm recording from my phone now. So
okay, that's all right. You can be on the phone. We just started talking a little bit about Danny Gray here, and I was breaking down the Shanahan type, right? Because we talked about the speed. Because he brought up in his post game press conference, he brought up Travis Benjamin. It's like, well, you didn't even use Travis Benjamin. So, like, how much do you actually like these speed guys, right? But clearly they needed the speed type. But this isn't that. I wanted the speed type, and I've wanted it, and I already know Kyle Shanahan's not going to like that type of player, and Danny Gray's not this type of guy either. The speed, long, you know, big catch radius down the field type of speed guy, and Danny Gray's not really that, even though he's got speed. Danny Gray's more about, like, I'm going to catch a short pass. He's not a great route runner. But once he gets the ball in his hands and there's a crease, he can hit it. Like, he can flat out fly, and he's got these strides. He's got these long strides, and he's kind of all legs. And he reminds me a lot of, and I don't want to put this on him because, oh, there he goes. He goes again. Come on, Croc, where are you going? I don't want to put this on Danny Gray necessarily, but he does kind of remind me in a, I don't expect him to be this player type of a way, but just stylistically, just to picture Danny Gray in your head, if you've never seen him play, is he reminds me a little bit of John Taylor. If you remember those old early 90s, late 80s, John Taylor, these, you know, kind of like all legs, and he's just got this stride where he can take a short pass the distance. And once he gets it going, you don't catch him. And that's kind of what Danny Gray brings to the table. And that's where his speed really shines. What do you think about Danny Gray, Croc, as a receiver? And do you think he can become more complete? Do you see the traits there to become better as a route runner, or do you think he's going to be just a one trick? Let's hopefully get the ball in his hands on a crosser and maybe he can take one.
He's a little bit more one trick right now, but the one trick is really good. I mean, he is a legit vertical threat, a guy that can definitely stretch the field, run by defensive backs. I don't think he has what I call high end controlled speed. So, you know, if you're asking him to run like a stop route, it just doesn't look great. If you watch him like try to get off of press, his releases aren't really clean. So I think there's like areas, at least from what I saw from his SMU film, where he can really work to clean up. I didn't see that like suddenness in the burst from that standpoint, but with just the ability to win vertically on a go route, on a post, that's definitely an area of strength for his. So if you have a guy like, you know, let's say Trey Lance, or even Jimmy G, but Trey Lance, where, hey, I want this guy to run as fast and as far as he can, and I want to throw it out there, he's the kind of guy you do it with.
And yeah, legit track speed, legit 4.3 speed. So that'll be fun to see how Kyle Shanahan envisions incorporating Danny Gray into the offense. And once you get past the starters and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, then the next guys are Danny Gray and Juwan Jennings. And Juwan Jennings is the opposite. Juwan Jennings is kind of got good feet and better in a short area, but he runs 4.7, right?
Maybe so those that's what guys, they want. Like
very different, right?
The next two guys kind of complement each other to kind of like make one guy.
Yeah,
where no, you have like you have the size and you have, I wouldn't even say like the quicks, but just the size and the ability to kind of shield off defenders and make catches with one guy. Then you have just that pure vertical speed with the other guy.
Yeah, no, I think that's perfectly accurate there. And that's the way they envision using Danny Gray is, and he'll be competing. This is why I was saying I would probably wait till round four to see if Danny Gray was still there, because I think there was some other players, like, you know, if you're looking for speed, then Calvin Austin's so dynamic. He was still on the board, and I know he's only 5'7", but I don't think Danny Gray is like necessarily a future starter either in the NFL, but even though he's taller.
Maybe. Who he reminds me of? And I can't even see where this guy was taken, but where was Mike Wallace drafted? Because that's what, when I watch Danny Gray, like, I see that type of receiver.
Mike Wallace was a third rounder back in the day for the Steelers.
Yeah.
So yeah, right around the same spot. So yeah, that makes sense. And draft the traits and see if you can teach him the rest. And so
what you think about Mike Wallace too, and like how he won, a lot of it was vertical. Like he wasn't this.
Oh yeah, he was an outrunner,
but he was able to win with speed on crossers and goes and posts and things like that, and win at a high level. And now Danny Gray can do that, which sometimes you don't know. Matter of fact, I mean, not comparing him to this receiver, but Terry McLaurin. Like, I didn't see a lot of what I wanted to see as a route runner at speed. And maybe it was just more because of the offense that he was in. And then he goes to the NFL, and he's one of the better route runners in the NFL. So you never know, you know. But, I'm, you know, obviously with what we see right now, there's just areas where he can improve. But he still adds value to what an area where the 49ers desperately need it.
Yep. And so we'll see what kind of a package player he is. Probably wide receiver 4-ish, I would guess, during his rookie season, but could come in and give you that speed element for the 49ers offense that clearly Kyle Shanahan was looking for in this draft. Kroc, I talked a lot about the 49ers second round pick in Drake Jackson earlier. I was a big fan of the selection. I talked with you on the Locked On NFL Draft live show about it, but I wanted to get your thoughts about Drake Jackson, the second rounder, 61 overall here on Locked On 49ers. How'd you feel about that pick?
Oh, I liked it. I was excited about that. Talking about a guy who complements what the 49ers have right now. Obviously, you have Nick Bosa on one side, and that's awesome. He's going to do his thing. But when you look at the other edge rushers the 49ers have, there's not that, like, speed, bendy guy off of the edge. Maybe Ebukam, but I think he brings a lot of that same kind of dimension, right? And then can potentially develop into someone who is more of a pure speed rusher off of the edge that can dip and bend and do those type of things. So I really like that pick. I was excited about that. Once I saw him, I'm like, man, maybe they can draft Drake Jackson. Because I was looking like, man, who the 49ers going to take right now? A lot of guys I wanted in that area were gone. Now I saw Drake Jackson being one of the best available. I'm like, that would be a good pick. And he brings something, again, to that defensive line that the 49ers just don't have. Aminahu, Kerry Hyder, they're not that type of edge rusher. I think they have their value, but I think he brings a different dimension.
Yeah, he definitely brings something that nobody on the 49ers currently has, that ability to corner. Even Nick Bosa. And that's what's kind of potentially special about Drake Jackson. And that's why I get excited about that pick, is that he Kroc, I see you fighting off the yawns there. I know you're tired. You've been doing these long days. And so we'll get out of here really quick. A little bonus pod for you guys. But yeah, that's what's exciting about Drake Jackson, is he brings something that you can't teach, that is a special ability. And if you can teach him just a little bit of the rest, and he's already shown he can get up to 270 pounds, and he's playing in the 240s, playing outside linebacker for USC, and that's the weight they wanted him at. So if he can bring a little bit more thump with that extra weight, and sink his hips a little bit in the run game, and even if he's not as a rookie and every down player, what he can do winning the edge as a pass rusher is something the 49ers haven't had in a while, since when D Ford was healthy. So I think that's a special ability. It's a trump card in the NFL, and you draft that and you hope you can teach him the rest. And even if you can't, just his ability on third down, I think is worthy of a late second round pick. So I like the pick of Drake Jackson. And when you look at what he could be, that's where you get really excited.
Right, and I think he can bring some big-time ability. And we also talked about the other guys, all one-year contracts that they're on. So yeah. All expiring contracts.
Yeah, exactly. And so at this point, those guys, they're fighting for – they might be fighting for, like, anything next year with the 49ers. That's a really deep room all of a sudden.
They are fighting for a spot on another roster, right? Essentially, they know, like, that's what they're playing for.
Like, so someone like Samson Abelcom, who's was scheduled to make like $5 million, like he might even be a sneaky camp casualty, right? Just because they don't want to carry his salary if he doesn't win the starting job. And
he's probably looking at
he was already going to have, yeah, the battle with Kamoko Touré. And now you bring Drake Jackson in, and it's like, oh man, okay, Samson Abelcom, if you don't win a job, then you might not be a backup, because I don't think they're one of pay you to be a backup at that price. But a good draft so far. I like what the 49ers are doing. Obviously, not a fan of the running back position, not the player position.
I mean, I have been watching them say it's a bad pick. I don't think the running back pick is a bad pick. I think it's a bad pick, quote unquote, in a sense of value. But I don't think that he's a bad player. I haven't watched him yet.
Yeah, it's all about the positional value there. It's why, you know, I'll be upset if the 49ers draft another fourth round punter. At least if they draft a fourth round punter this year, he probably won't be someone who turns 30 before the end of his rookie contract, though. So, it's all about the upside with these picks. There could be potential huge upside with all three of these guys. And so from that standpoint, dare to dream. I love it. Maybe they got themselves their Frank Gore was a third round pick, right? Maybe they did draft the next Frank Gore. Maybe Ty Davis Price is the next star runner in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And look, if he's cheap in fantasy leagues, I'll be drafting Ty Davis Price in every single league. You know what I mean? Like that and now that he's on the 49ers, it's different, right? So, and big upside with the crazy speed that Danny Gray has. And then obviously really big upside with Drake Jackson, who I wouldn't have batted an eye at if he ended up being a late first rounder this year. The Niners got him all the way at the end of round two. So that is the 49ers start. Three picks, no trades so far. What you got, Croc?
I was thinking about Danny Gray, right? And I talked about Mike Wallace. And I think that's the good version of what he could be. But there is a bad version of what Danny Gray could be.
What's the bad version?
AJ Jenkins.
Oh, well, at least he wasn't a first round pick. That's what made AJ Jenkins worse. If AJ Jenkins was the third rounder, I'd probably barely remember who he is. In fact, I'm trying to think of the dude. Who did the 49ers draft at wide receiver in the third round in that like first bulky draft?
A receiver?
A receiver, right?
Oh, no. Quentin Patton? Bruce Ellington?
Ellington. Bruce Ellington is what I'm thinking of, right? He was the college point guard, right?
Yeah.
That was 2014. That's right. That was 2014 because that was the draft when there was like all these good receivers and Trent Baalke found the one receiver that wasn't very good and drafted him in the fourth round. And he was sort of like, you know, he was all right, but it was, Anyway. Okay. More Danny Gray has more upside than Bruce Ellington and probably more upside than AJ Jenkins, because he's got as much or more speed as AJ Jenkins did and got that same speed and runaway ability. God, I'm not going to get that. He kind of does have some similarities to AJ Jenkins, though. Yeah. AJ Jenkins in college ran crossers all day and wasn't a great route runner, but had 4.3 speed.
Now you're going to have AJ Jenkins in your head when you watch Danny Gray.
I'm going to. Although AJ Jenkins had like 11 inch hands or something crazy like that. Wasn't that long arms, big hands? That's the bulky thing. And Danny Gray's got short arms. So that's where it ends. But I do expect Danny Gray to take like a crosser or a slant to the house at some point his rookie season, because if he does that,
he'd do a lot more than AJ Jenkins did for his entire career, especially with the 49ers.
I think it was one target, zero catches, I think. Yeah. that's a low bar, Danny Gray. I think you're gonna
couldn't even throw him a screen pass like to get him a catch.
Yeah, Harbaugh's not gonna give you a freebie. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And then send him off after 1 year. All right, good stuff. Wow. Thanks, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. Make sure you're checking out day three of the Locked On NFL Live show, consisting of Eric Crocker and his Locked On NFL co-host, Ryan Tracy. Super Bowl champion Isaiah Stanback's in there, as well as being hosted by Peter Bukowski. And I will once again make an appearance there as the 49ers make some selections on day three. And Croc and I will have it all covered for you and dive deeper into all these scouting reports and all these players post-draft as well. Talk to you then right here. Locked On 49ers.